Nation. This is Morning Juice. Sports, insight, and great storytelling. Starring Bobby Carpenter and Jeff Tito Thidoff. It's time to attack and dominate.
Attack and dominate on a Thursday. That's on the agenda today. I'm Tito, Jeff Thidoff. To my left, Bobby Carpenter, Bodie Wells sitting across from us. Good morning, Bobby. How are you this morning, my friend?
I am rolling, sir. Having a great one. How is the day treating you?
You know, it's nice. It seems like it gets a little bit lighter every morning around this time. I know it does.
It will for about the next month, and then it'll start getting shorter.
It'll be on Coaster Bob. But yes, I like the fact that I get up in the morning now and I'm driving thinking, man, it's a little bit lighter than it was yesterday. I know it's only like a minute.
Well, it was awesome when we're working in a concrete box right now, but when I was back in Portsmouth, it was great. I walked out, I had to go to the bathroom, walked through there, and I'm like, man, it's light, like very light out. It's 6:30. This is awesome.
Morning Juice sponsored by Riverside Bank of Dublin. Two full hours here on YouTube, the Fan app, HD3, Twitter, and Facebook. Catch the show from 10 a.m. to noon on 10 TV Plus. Download the podcast anywhere you get your audio. Big show lined up for you today. Albert Breer, 705. Hey, final segment of the program, Al. Who knows? Dealer's choice. We're going to see what happens there. I'm not sure if your highness is alive, incarcerated, still awake. I don't know. He's down there in Nolens. So I've never had a chance to go to New Orleans.
For anything?
For anything.
It's a fun city.
I have a feeling it'd be bad for me. That's where the House of the Rising Sun. That's like, I think, what the song is about that.
By the animals? Yeah, that's real. They show you that house in a tour that you take. It's honestly, I'd only been there for games until a couple years ago, and then we went down there just for 3 days with some friends to kind of hang out, and it was a really good time. The food's really good. It's a relatively inexpensive city. You can walk everywhere. Once you get there, it's a little tough to get here from Ohio, Columbus, but I've heard they put some direct flights in now. I'm a huge New Orleans fan. Food's good. Got some gambling. It's warm. They don't really have like any beach area or anything like that, but a lot of the hotels have pools and rooftop pools and things like that. And it's a city that's old and historic, got a lot of character to it.
Reds beat the Phillies yesterday 9-4. Reds take 2 of 3 in Philly. Off today, host St. Louis for the first of three tomorrow night. Guards over the Tigers 3-2 in 10 innings. Guards going for the 4-game sweep today at 110. Western Conference Finals game 2, Thunder 122, Spurs 113, series tied 1-1. Not only did Thunder win, basketball won, because now we get a better chance at a 7-game series with the Thunder and Spurs. Hope that happens. Eastern Conference Finals game 2 tonight. Cavs, Knicks, 8 o'clock. Knicks lead the series 1-0, and the Knicks are on a 44-11 scoring run since the last time the Cavs were up by 22 points in that game with less than 8 minutes left. I would be remiss if I did not mention the passing of Bill Davidge. He is the longtime member of the Columbus Blue Jackets organization as a scout, also then as an announcer, is probably how you know him better. Bill Davidge passed away yesterday at the age of 72. Didn't have a lot of interactions with him, but the ones I did, professional and kind, like just he just seemed like a nice guy. Guy liked to have a beer with and hang out and talk, but he loved the Jackets. I believe that Aaron Portsline, longtime friend of this program there, said that he called him, he in his Facebook post said, Bill Davidge was a great ambassador, maybe the ambassador for the Columbus Blue Jackets for a long time there. Here's Bill Davidge's call after the Jackets beat Tampa back in 2019.
Listen, Billy, it's not about us, but you've been here since day one. What was this like tonight?
You can guarantee your seats with a full or partial ticket plan, and you can visit ticket representatives tonight.
Pretty emotional. Outstanding. You work so hard, and to be able to watch these guys just give it their all. That's what it's all about. I'm telling you what. To see the fans, this is an amazing experience. Just to be proud of part of it for the last 20 years brings tears to your eyes.
So, very important member of the Jackets and the Jackets history. So, and I knew his son, I know his son Rob a little bit, met him at different events sometimes, we had a couple of mutual friends. But Davidge, though, Bob, I know you had him on, mentioned that you had him on the show with you guys before.
Yeah, I think he was either on with Rothman and I, or when I was on with Beamer at some point. I mean, I talked to him on there. I can't say that I knew him all that well, but right. I know that we had conversations and spoke before.
one of those things where it's like, it's someone whose voice you heard a lot. Like for me, I'm sorry, I mean, you know, like the voice I heard a lot when I was, you know, consuming Blue Jackets games. And the only time really, yeah, I saw him was like kind of around in the press area when I go up there, go out there and view them there. But he just, it's a voice I associate with the Blue Jackets. So tough loss for the Jackets family, tougher loss even for the Bill Davidge family. So
is he sick?
He was sick. I know he had a stroke a few years back. They said he passed away surrounded by family.
So which, there was obviously there was a knowledge that this was going to happen.
This was
going to
happen, yes. 72 years old, though. But Bill Davidge, though, passes away. Long time Jackets, and as Porty called him, maybe the ambassador of the Columbus Blue Jackets. Bob.
Did you go over to Bruno Mars last night, that off?
I figured you would. I was going to ask you how the show was. No, was it good?
I'm not going outside for that. I like Bruno Mars. It was very rainy and cold. It would have been a brutal night to go sit outside at the Shoe and be a part of that.
How many concerts have you been to the Shoe?
How many concerts have I been to at the Shoe?
Yeah.
I don't know.
That many. Okay, that's fine. Your daughter, what did you say about your daughter? I'm sorry to interrupt
they
you.
They had a lacrosse game last night, so it ended up working out for the best. So
did it work out for the best?
Yeah. What do you mean?
Did they win?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I mean. If they would have gotten their butts kicked, Bob, maybe you would have said, you know what? I wish it was a Bruno Mars.
I don't think I would have said that. Missing my kid play to go watch Bruno Mars, I'd go see him anywhere at any time. So, you know,
watching. That's a flex right there.
Well, it's not a flex.
Say, go see me anywhere, any time.
You could buy a ticket.
I know.
Buy whatever. Like, buy a plane ticket, drive over. It's not a flex. It's a choice of how you choose to spend your time. And
I think
I'd rather go watch my daughter play lacrosse in their tournament game.
How many Bruno Mars songs do you think you know, roughly?
8 to 12.
I think so. Bodie, how about you?
Yeah, that probably sounds about right. I think I couldn't probably list all the titles of the songs.
Right, but if you played
it, I'd be like, yeah, I know this song. I could probably even sing to it. I like Bruno Mars. I mean, he's not going to be number one on my Spotify Wrapped at the end of this year, right. But I enjoy some of his songs, and if you play them, it's like, yeah, it's a fun song.
Yeah, they're good. I mean, heck, he's been doing it for almost 20 years. So
God, that's. I think I'm like at 4 to 6 is where I'd be.
You would know more than you think, I'm guessing, but maybe not. I don't know.
Do you want to save lacrosse result for what's got you juiced, or do you want to tell us now what score
was? I don't know. What, 23-4? I mean, they. Good. Yeah, they.
She got in the game then, played goal a little bit, I think. Yep.
Yeah, they had a running clock. I mean, it was good. Got out of there. My parents came up. My in-laws came up. They celebrated my son's birthday, and then we went and had some, got something to eat, and then went over to the game, hung out a little bit, went to Carsoni's after. It's a fun time. So they've got another game. The regional semifinal will be on Tuesday, and then their regional final, assuming they win, will be Thursday. So
regional semifinal will be here in town somewhere, like Hilliard or something?
Yeah, they're all at Arlington.
Oh, Arlington, really?
Yeah,
oh,
you get home. Right. The home team in the whole region gets the higher seed gets the home game all the way through to the state semis, so which I believe will be in Mason, I think. Right. And the final will be at Crewe on June 7th.
All right, Bob, make me smarter.
Time to get smarter. Morning Juice presents Today in History. Here's your professor, Bobby Carpenter.
All right, Bob, do your thing.
Oh, goodness. It is May 21st. And I'm getting sick of my internet not working here on my laptop.
Bob, you and your tech issues. You're too young to have tech issues.
No, it's just here.
Okay.
It's not a tech issue anymore. It's just this place. Right. So I wouldn't define that as an issue anymore. It is May 21st. It's a Thursday, the 141st day of the year, 224 remaining this 2026. Mm. This date, 1881, the American Red Cross is established. This date, 1904, the Federation Internationale de Football Association is established. You know what that is, Thadoff?
The what? Football Association?
You weren't even listening to me, were you?
No, I was getting, calling up YouTube. I'm sorry. You said it was in 19...
Calling up YouTube.
I was calling up chat with the listeners, Bob. I love the people.
Calling up. What were you punching in the number?
I punched in YouTube, and I heard something about the Football Association.
You said you were calling up YouTube.
Okay, I'm sorry, Bob. I got the phrasing wrong.
I mean, you were
NFL.
It's a web...
It was the NFL.
I would guess FIFA.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, you said
you were actually listening. Said okay. Federation Internationale de Football Association. I even used the term football.
Did you use day?
Yes.
Okay. Then I should have known that. You're right. If you say day, I should know that.
I said football.
Okay.
That one too. Yeah. That's probably a dead giveaway.
But that's established right FIFA. Now. They got probably corrupt pretty quickly. This date, 1927, Charles Lindbergh completes the first solo flight across the Atlantic. This day, 1930, Babe Ruth, while with the New York Yankees, hits three consecutive home runs. And in 1964, Under the Boardwalk is recorded by the Drifters.
Under the boardwalk,
out of the sun.
Under the boardwalk,
we'll be having some fun.
Under the boardwalk.
This date, 1977, Rumors by Fleetwood Mac. The album hits number one.
You can go your own way. Go your own way. You can call it fun.
This song will be forever tied to Forrest Gump for me.
Oh,
this date, 1980, Star Wars, Episode 5. Premieres, The Empire Strikes Back.
General, prepare your troops for a surface attack.
Yes, my lord.
Lord Vader, the fleet has moved out to light speed and we're preparing to...
You have failed me for the last time, Admiral. Captain Piet.
Yes, my lord.
Make ready to land our troops beyond their energy field and deploy the fleet so that nothing gets off the system. You are in command now, Admiral Piet.
Thank you, Lord Vader.
You know, taking over for someone that got killed right in front of you.
Motivation.
Is that a job you think you really want to have?
I don't think he had a choice. It was either take the job or I'll shrink your throat too. Also, yeah. I'll do the same thing to you.
Sounds kind of like a rough way to go.
What a great movie that was.
What?
Empire Strikes Back.
You forgot. What about?
I said what a great movie.
Oh.
Yeah. That's the best of the bunch.
I don't like when the bad guys win at the end. So I enjoy Empire Strikes Back. I know there's a lot of memorable moments in it, but I'm more of a Return of the Jedi guy.
Are you really? With the Ewoks? See, I don't like the Muppets being in it.
You can discriminate against them all you like.
Well, I'm not discriminating against them.
I enjoy them. I thought they were nice comedic relief.
I don't want comedic relief in Star Wars. I want Star Wars.
It's a fictional show. Like,
it's very believable, Bob.
As far as we know, at least.
Yeah. Right.
Well, at least by the technology that we have today.
Yes.
This date, 1983, Give Me All Your Lovin' is released on video.
It's a hell of a year for ZZ Top with that one, and she's got legs. Legs is that a song they had?
How to use them.
She does know how to use them. Yes, she does.
This date, 1992, the final show of a legend, Mr. Johnny Carson, says goodbye to his Tonight Show for the final time. His guests, I'm curious who Bodie pulled, with Bette Midler and Robin Williams.
And so it has come to this. I am one of the lucky people in the world. I found something I always wanted to do, and I have enjoyed every single minute of it. I want to thank the gentleman who shared this stage with me for 30 years, Mr. Ed McMahon.
Mr. Doc Severinsen.
You people watching, I can only tell you that it has been an honor and a privilege to come into your homes all these years and entertain you. And I hope when I find something that I want to do and I think you will like and come back that you'll be as gracious inviting me into your home as you have been, I bid you a very heartfelt good night.
Here we go. The final sign-off of Johnny Carson. Do you enjoy Johnny Carson on Tonight Show?
Yes, I did. And it used to be an hour and a half show live from New York, and then they cut it back.
When I moved it to L.A.?
Moved to L.A., I think it was like early to mid-70s they moved to L.A. Moved out there to Burbank. Yeah, I think that's what it was. But
I just knew that Leno. Carson predated me. I mean, I was 9 when he was off, so I probably watched him once or twice, but Leno is who I remember the most.
It was always a huge deal for Carson. They said the stand-up comedians would come on stage, and they always said that if he invited you over to sit next to him there, like on one of the chairs there, and have a conversation, that was kind of the way you were anointed.
Yes.
And if you didn't get invited, that means that Carson didn't like you.
That's real life.
Yeah.
They've talked about that before, how big of a deal it was when you do a set and he's like, why don't you come on over and sit down.
Come here, sit down. Yeah. Then he talked to you.
Just toss the commercial.
Yeah. There's a famous one. If you ever go back and look, you can see there were so many famous interviews he did. And there was one time when Ed McMahon was drunk on the show. If you look at that. And,
that's the type of TV I'm looking for.
And you're looking like, he's like, can I get you an army cut or something there? You think you're fooling everybody out here right now? Like, he was absolutely hammered during the show.
You think that was part of the bit? Or
no.
Was that just,
I think,
show up drunk today.
McMahon showed up
drunk. I can do that.
Yeah.
Right. It's a funny clip.
And then this date, 2017, the Ringling and Barnum and Bailey's Circus performs for the final time in Nassau Veterans Memorial Coliseum. Some birthdays today. Knew Bodie would be finding something on him. Mm. Born in the state in 1923, winning two national championships for the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, Mr. Ara Parsegian.
In 1966, Notre Dame was named consensus national champion with 9 wins and a single tie. Another consensus national championship followed in 1973 with a thrilling 24-23 victory over undefeated Alabama in the Sugar Bowl. Coach Ara Parsegian's playbooks began, "Congratulations, you've joined the team," and ended with the words, "We have no breaking point."
Class, the way he coached, the way he lived. What he did for Notre Dame, he's part of Notre Dame. I mean,
if you aren't watching on YouTube, I just want to let you know the way Bob's face lit up as soon as you heard Klaff.
Hey, Holtz is gone too now.
I know, but the
he's not making any new material.
The excitement on your face.
Listen.
He's one of the best. Also one of the best, turning 85 today, winning the Cup of World Series. 4-time manager of the year, longtime manager of the Braves, Mr. Bobby Cox.
51,000 plus on their feet. Nobody's left to beat the traffic tonight, I guarantee you. Mark gets the sign. The wind and the pitch, here it is. Swung, fly ball deep left center. Grissom on the run. Yes!
The Shale call.
I've given you a championship. Listen to this crowd.
That was Skip Carey there with Pete Van Wieren, I believe. And Cox, manager of the Braves, then got fired. Toronto hired him as an executive, like a GM kind of thing. And then had success there also as a manager then. And then came back to Atlanta and had all that success after that.
Did a great job there. Yeah. I feel like he's looked like he was 85 for about 20 years.
Yes.
Still kicking, though. I was surprised that he's still alive.
That's amazing, yeah.
Most ejections all time, too.
He does really? Have that.
Most among MLB managers,
good for him.
Yeah.
Actually, he's dead.
Wait, Bobby Cox?
Yeah.
Oh.
Did he just pass away?
May 9th.
Oh, geez.
This month. Okay, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. I swear, I was like, man, I thought he had passed away. So he did turn 85, or he would have turned 85. Yeah. Gosh, couldn't make it to the birthday, 84.
Couldn't get there, 84, yes. He bans the Braves, 78.
I was
going to
say, I thought he just passed away. I'm like, there's no way.
Then the Jays from 82 to 85, then came back to the Braves as a GM in 86, and then took over in 90 and stayed there until 2010. 14 consecutive division championships, which is amazing.
Unreal.
The only time he didn't was the 94 when they had the shortened season, but whatever. Number 6 retired. He has a record for most ejections, 162.
Good for him. And he always seems so chill. I never really remember watching him get thrown out. Turning 79 today, Bill Champlin, one of the founding members of Chicago.
I couldn't nail it.
I don't know.
You'll never know, but I could have.
Oh, I know. I've heard you sing. So I know that you don't sound... Who's that, Peter Cetera?
That sounds like... Yeah, it was Cetera on that one. Yeah, I could have gotten there, I think.
I don't know.
Well, you haven't heard me in a while, but resting the vocal cords...
That's key. Keep them warm and resting.
A lot of tea every morning just in case the day comes when you say Tito sing.
Well, especially talking about tea, Mr. T turning 74 today.
No, I don't hate Balboa, but I pity the fool. And I will destroy any man who tries to take what I got.
What's your prediction for the fight?
Prediction?
Yes, prediction.
Pain. Let me hear you say I pity the fool. Come on, man. Do you know how many times I've been asked to say that? Well, no more. I'm through. I'm never gonna say those stupid words again. I pity the fool.
That's what she said.
Was that on SNL?
I think so, or some sort of like commercial, something like that. Yeah, I'm not really sure exactly what it was, but I feel like
that had to be SNL.
His daughter was a stand-up comedian and talked about being the daughter of Mr. T during some of those WrestleMania things. It was pretty funny. But also, if you want to waste your YouTube time today, I try to now give you clips you can look at. Go look up Mr. T's Mother's Day rap song.
That sounds amazing.
It really is good.
Not as amazing, though, as one of the fine Ohio State attendees. I don't know if he actually graduated. I know he stayed at Morrill Tower. Pretty hungry dude. Born on this date, 1960, Mr. Jeffrey Dahmer.
I was branching out. That's when the cannibalism started.
Mm.
Eating of the heart and the arm muscle. It was a way of making me feel that they were a part of me. At first, it was just curiosity, and then it became compulsive.
Yes. First, I was just trying to find out what it
was petrified.
What a human tastes like, and then I realized, enough of it. Yeah. There you go.
Makes me throw up my own mouth. Don't, Bob. That's that one. That's another movie, right? That's that. The movie with Hopkins and Foster. You made
What's
that sound.
What's the name of it? You think?
I think it's called Sleeping with the Enemy.
Yes.
Is that what it is?
Of course.
Okay, I don't know.
So amazing.
Danielle,
it's one of the most famous. No.
What is it?
Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, okay. What's Sleep with the Enemy about? What's that one?
I don't know, but that's not in reference to this. Staying at Morrill Tower. I'll tell you this. I stayed in Morrill Tower, and I probably thought about eating people by the end of that.
Oh.
I think the tower drove him to do it.
Sleep with the Enemy is a Julie Roberts movie from 1990.
Yeah, not even close to...
Well, I think it's close.
Jodie Foster. Born on this date, 1972, Mr. Christopher Wallace. Better known as Biggie Smalls.
Yes.
He's not with us. I do know that.
Yes. Christopher
Wallace,
It's almost been
30 years since he passed away.
It's amazing that he and Pac are both around that time. That was back when rappers, they did what they said and they said what they did.
Yeah, they didn't do it for the money.
They lived the bit.
That's what it was.
They lived the bit.
Too bad, man.
What are you going to do with all this money? Buy more Raiders gear.
Biggie and Pac, man.
Turning 49 today, one of the best college football players I ever got to witness with my eyes. 10,000-yard rusher in the NFL. Probably, if he wouldn't have decided to smoke weed full-time, would have been a Hall of Famer. Mr. Ricky Williams turning 49.
Brown is the lead back for Ricky. Offsets it a little bit to the left. 11 yards shy of the record. Williams breaks a hole. Williams, hello, record book. Ricky Williams runs to the Hall of Fame. Cuts back. Ricky Williams, touchdown. 60 yards and the record is his. He does it in dramatic fashion. And a standing ovation for the king of the rushers.
I miss Musburger.
He was so good. So good. If I asked you, I told you he'd rush for 10,000 yards, which I remember I looked that up on his birthday a handful of years ago. Mm-hmm. And because that's a lot for a guy whose career was probably widely considered unsuccessful.
Sure.
Just because of what New Orleans gave up and kind of where it went. But he was the two-time rushing leader while in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess there have been some guys that have passed him recently.
Right.
Do you know where he ranks on the all-time leading rushers?
All-time NFL leading rushers?
Yeah.
I'm going to put him at 19.
A little behind that. He's 32.
Oh.
Marshawn Lynch has passed him. He was closer. Eddie George, obviously. But he has 10,009 career rushing yards.
Yeah, for the time he missed and stuff and all the stuff that went on, yes. I think that's pretty good.
I mean, it was it's just a very unique career, to say the least. Turning 45 today, AL MVP, five-time All-Star. He is in the Texas Rangers Hall of Fame and hit four home runs in a game on May 8th, 2012. Mr. Josh Hamilton.
How about another? To center field, number four, Josh Hamilton on an unstoppable tear in Baltimore.
Get a standing ovation from the Royal crowd, too. This is like the home run derby in Yankee Stadium.
If you have been watching Ranger baseball since day one, 1972, we have never seen a performance like this. May well never see it again.
All kinds of off-the-field stuff. He was the first pick of the draft in 1999. By the Tampa Bay Rays, ended up going to the Cubs after that, never played for them, and then the Reds purchased him in 06. He made his debut in 07 with the Reds.
Yeah. That was like a big deal. He exploded for the Reds, yes. And then signed a big deal, went down to the Rangers.
Well, he traded the Rangers for Edison Volquez.
Yes. Which I think was a trade that worked out for both teams.
Absolutely did, yeah.
Volquez was good.
Yep.
But that four home runs, there's 21 Major League Baseball players that have done that. I was looking back, I'm like, four had to be the record. I'm like, unless somebody hit five.
No, no one's ever hit five. Yeah, four's the
number.
So
21 have hit four.
Yep.
And he's one of those gentlemen. Despite an interesting off the field, a lot of stuff going on, a lot of drugs. Great story, though, because they went to the World Series when he was there with...
back-to-back years, right?
Yeah, back-to-back. Yeah. Who was with their Bochy? Manager?
Ron Washington.
Oh, Washington, Ron, yes.
Gosh.
That's the drug
guy
also.
Got busted for doing some coke. Loved it, man. Just getting after it.
Hey.
You know what? Listen, sometimes you get it's 162 is a lot, dude. You got to get going it sometimes.
Playing first base is easy. Tell him, Ron.
Yes. Exactly.
That's exactly right. That's who that was, yeah.
And turning 30 today, former NFL MVP, Mr. Josh Allen.
You got to chip on the edge with Ingram and have him come up on the inside. Some of these guys.
Here we go, Jim.
Fires it. It's a wide open. Remarkable. Touchdown. Buffalo, Davis again. 19 in 17 seconds.
This is the Kansas City game.
Down the middle to the end zone, and there it is. Touchdown number four on the night for Davis.
I'll say that was one of the best football games I've ever watched.
Oh, yeah.
The
considering everything that was on the line, and which I guess...
It was divisional round, I think.
Yeah, it was. And was that the year Kansas City lost the next week to Cincinnati?
I think
maybe.
So.
They've all run together because they've played so often in the postseason. But in most of the game, even in the regular season, most of the times when Josh Allen goes against Mahomes, it ends up coming down to the wire. But yeah, that was incredible. And Bills fans, man, that just... Oof.
That, I mean, I think being a Cleveland fan...
Added to the
stuff,
list.
Yeah, that... Because that team you felt like was good enough to potentially win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So Josh Allen turning 30 today. Some holidays observances. It's Red Cross Founders Day. It's Brown Bag of Thursday. Now, I don't know if that's a lunch or if that's like a paper sack and a 40.
Whatever. It could be both.
Maybe both. Maybe you got two brown
Depends
bags.
Depends on your lunch, yeah.
National Memo Day as well. And those are your historical events, your birthdays, your passings, your holidays observances for this date. Thursday, May 21st, 141st day of the year, and 224 days remaining this 2026.
Well done, General, but incomplete. I don't like to call you out on this.
Who did I miss?
Bodie, who did Bobby miss today?
Your Highness. Turning.
Whatever.
God knows what. Right.
Unknown.
It's his birthday.
He could be 100. He could be 25. I don't know.
I pull from 2 to 3 websites, and if you're not mentioned in there, someone sent me something about Rex Kern's birthday is May 28th, and I was like, let me know on May 27th.
Right, because you got to get ready. Yeah. I got you.
Then I'll prepare it. But
yes. Well,
they're not in there. That's not my fault. That's when you know you've made it, is when you're on the Wikipedia date, this day list.
Add to your two you say you go to. Go to a third one called wewinyouwin.com, and you would find out there is your Highness's birthday today. Down in New Orleans. Could also be if he wants to make things.
Could be his last.
Could be right. I say it could be the same. Could save money on the tombstone. Right, exactly. He could do that as well. Coming up next, Joe Burrow makes a pretty bold statement. By the way, Joe Burrow, who had been to a Super Bowl, makes a pretty bold statement. We'll talk about that next.
Citrus. Yeah.
else to do. Give me the sunshine, give me a do. Give me something simple and true. All I need is sunshine and that cool, refreshing mountain dew. So give me my good friends, give me a do.
Grab some friends and an ice cold Mountain Dew today.
Mountain Dew!
Is a national champion, NFL veteran, and local business leader. The other man is Tino. This is Morning Juice.
Sponsored by Riverside Bank of Dublin.
Here's Bobby and Tino.
Bob, here's what Joe Burrow said. The OTA's going on. This is the most talented roster we have had since I've been here. The front office has taken a lot of heat from the fans, the public, the media. Me. Well, I was going to say, and also Joe, you. He didn't say that. We can put all that behind us. They went and made it happen with free agency. I thought the draft. Obviously, we'll find out. We don't know a ton about these rookies yet, but it seems like they brought the right kind of guys in. And then obviously with Dexter Lawrence, making a trade like that. That doesn't happen a ton in the NFL, so it's exciting to see. Burrow's been to the Super Bowl, Bob. He is now saying, this is the most talented roster we've had since I've been here.
Yeah.
Does that mean Super Bowl?
I don't know. Are you stumping for me to say yes?
I'm somebody who just either disagree or agree with Burrow. But okay,
well, what's he supposed to say? I don't know if he needed to go all the way out there, but right. I think that's an expectation. I think that they're getting to an expectation where, hey, you've made a Super Bowl, you've been a part of the playoffs, like you've been really good. If you stay healthy, last year was kind of a mess. Mm-hmm. But if we can keep you healthy, which hopefully this offensive line can keep him upright, like why can't they win a Super Bowl?
I think that. As long as they make the playoffs, I think that we will not
say it's a failure.
Look back and say that Burrow was hyperbole on that one. You know what I mean? Like, I think that as long as they make the playoffs, I would say, because once the playoffs start, Bob, who knows? You know, we've seen it. It's like there's different elements that come into play as far as like just freakish plays or weather, which I love, or just, you know, a bad game by a team overall. But if they make the playoffs, I think that then Burrow's justified in saying that.
Well, here's the thing. It's at OTAs. He's talking. There's probably a lot of buzz about this. I mean, Joe, is he 30 years old now?
He will be 30, I think, this fall or this winter, this coming.
So we're starting to get into we're starting to get in that second iteration of your career.
Yeah.
He's in that window now.
Okay.
Some guys who can stay healthy and play, you see Tom, he got like a third iteration of it. But you usually have like your first five to seven, yeah. And then you get like that middle 5 to 7, 5 to 8, and then if you can get anything on the back half, like 37 plus, like that's impressive. And so he's getting ready to start that second window. He has all of the talented receivers. They're still in their prime. Offensive line, well, we'll see how that looks.
TBD.
Defense, hopefully better. But it's all the onus has all been on him to just go score points. And he's been able to do that, but he wants to ultimately win. This is a guy who won a national championship in college, played for a state championship here at Ohio State or in the state of Ohio. Yep. Like he wants to go there and try to win. And that's how your legacy is ultimately judged as an athlete, especially as a quarterback.
The thing I thought was kind of maybe most interesting out of it is as somebody who's spent a lot of time cutting up Joe Burrow press conferences, for better or worse, he normally, he seems like, and Bob, you obviously know him significantly more than I do, but he seems like a pretty like reserved,
yes,
kind of calculated guy.
Does not speak much.
He's not going to come out and just be like, and just say that and not at least feel pretty strongly about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, as I was listening to that yesterday and cutting it up this morning, that wasn't like a one-off comment. I mean, there was multiple comments about how much the front office has done, how excited he is to kind of be back in the building, and you can feel the vibe in the locker room, how much talent we have. It was interesting. He made a comment at one point saying that it's hard to get the sort of talent that Dexter Lawrence has at the 10th overall pick in the draft.
Mm-hmm. As if Joe Burrow was doing a lot of draft and scout. Which,
do you think, though, if they knew Caleb Downs was going to be there, they'd make that trade? Burrow, I think yes. Because I think, like, not that he's, like, unaware of Caleb Downs. He played at one of his two alma maters. But I wonder, like front office, I wonder if that would be a no, but coaching staff and Burrow, maybe yes.
You knew what you were getting in Dexter Lawrence, who's a known commodity, and you're going to get 3 to 5, 4 years of really high play out of him, hopefully. High-level play. As far as Caleb Downs, it's number one, kind of how are you going to use him, but two, like you, there is sometimes a learning curve, and he may be great in years 3 through 9 of his career, but they want someone who's going to be great right now.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that Caleb might not be really good to start, but it's just an unknown quantity. And so what's interesting is if Joe Burrow was applying pressure to get that Dexter Lawrence trade done, it's interesting that he comes out now and affirms that, talks about how the management did a great job pulling that off. You don't see many trades like that in the NFL. And so that's all part of the, I don't want to use the term manipulation, but the soothing of egos and things when you go ask for something and like they get it done. I'm going to praise that in the press to make it seem like, you know, to make every sure everybody knows that I think you did a good job with it. That's what's really interesting.
I'll pitch two movie ideas to you. Tell me which one makes more sense. Joe Burrow as Kevin in Home Alone 4 as an adult, or Joe Burrow as Bobby Hurley in a movie? Who's he look more like? Who could he pull off better?
Macaulay Culkin
as an adult, or Bobby Hurley?
I don't think Macaulay Culkin's probably as big as him. Yeah.
Well, it's just another blue chips or whatever. No, the Duke dynasty. I don't know. Whatever it is. Duke dynasty. If he could play, who does he look? Who could he pull off easier, you think? Macaulay Culkin in a Home Alone type movie as an adult?
I'd say that one.
You think that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he looks like Bobby Hurley a lot.
I feel like I get the Bobby Hurley vibe from him when I see him. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's the vibe I get. That's kind of my coverage. That's my comment there. Coming up next, we'll do quick hitters morning juice. Comment. Thank you.
Lots to do. Give me the sunshine. Give me a do. Give me something simple and true. All I need is sunshine and a cool, refreshing mountain dew. So give me my good friends. Give me a do.
Grab some friends and an ice cold Mountain Dew today.
Mountain Dew.
Attack and dominate, YouTubers. You're locked into Morning Juice.
Do you need a bank that truly values local business in this town? The opportunity to work alongside them as partners, whether you're a small business or a large operation, Riverside Bank of Dublin has the right tools for the job. Riverside Bank of Dublin has the experience of working right here in Central Ohio. They understand the business climate in our area. They're going to help you reach your goals. So whether it's an SBA loan to get your business off the ground, a line of credit to keep your business running smoothly, or equipment financing to get your business up to scale, Riverside Bank will tailor a solution that fits your needs. Visit them at riverside.bank or stop in to get to know them at 6300 France Road. Riverside Bank of Dublin, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Bowdy, take the wheel.
Morning Juice presents Quick Hitters.
All right, fellas, happy Thursday. We'll continue the theme here a little bit. NFL OTAs fully underway. And sticking with the AFC North, Aaron Rodgers was asked yesterday, 22 years in now, this will be his 22nd year. Could this be it?
Aaron, do you believe that this could be your last year? Do you even think of that right now?
Yes.
As in your last year?
This is it, yeah.
This is it, Bob. Heck of a career for the four-time MVP, 22 years in now. He also went on to talk about how excited he is to work with Mike McCarthy again and a bunch of familiar faces coming over from Green Bay there.
So what's interesting is his relationship with Mike McCarthy. I think Ian Rappaport put this out here. There, they're like, the term that was fractured. It's like damage. He's like virtually unrepairable when he left Green Bay, and it's amazing how time kind of heals that from both sides. You know, Mike went on to Dallas, did some good stuff. Aaron was in Green Bay, then went to New York, and I think you just get an appreciation at the end. You want to be around people you feel comfortable with. I think Aaron feels really comfortable with Mike. That's why he's back in Pittsburgh. I think he wants to write one more chapter. Like, he'll probably jump a little bit more in the rankings as far as some of the all-time passing records. I believe he'll pass someone this year. He's like 30 yards away from someone to maybe go from 8th to 9th or 7th to 8th. But he's going to be able to do some of that. And hopefully he'll be able to go out on a winning note and go make the playoffs and maybe make a little run at that thing.
So, Bob, here is my going next level concern when it comes to Buckeyes and things like that, just so you know.
Wait.
What?
When it comes to the Buckeyes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Rodgers is back.
Yeah.
In all likelihood, the Steelers will not keep four quarterbacks.
Okay.
Fair? Most teams don't keep four.
No, I would say that's accurate.
Okay. By the way, Rodgers is he's about 5,000 yards behind Favre as far as passing yards go.
Okay.
He's fifth. Anyway, so
I didn't say he was going to be top five. I said there was people he would jump.
Yeah. I got you. I'm just saying he's fifth right now. Favre is fourth. I was curious.
I thought that there was someone else that I had heard yesterday that he was close to passing someone.
He has 12 passing touchdowns behind Peyton.
Maybe that's what it is. Yeah. Okay, Bob. Okay, so Rodgers.
But he's about 50 behind Breeze, so that would be.
Probably going to get one.
That'd be a heck of a year. Heck of a year there, Valvano. So if they're only going to keep three quarterbacks, which three are they keeping? Is there any chance they cut Will Howard?
If he doesn't play well.
Well, I'm saying like Rodgers, okay, it depends, you know, and they just spent third round draft capital on Drew Aller.
Yep.
So that's where the Buckeye tie I have is I wonder, I know Howard was taking some second team reps in OTAs.
Okay.
But if they want to have a veteran quarterback behind Rodgers, that means they keep Rudolph.
Because Rudolph has proven you he can do what?
Mediocre. I'm with you. I'm saying.
My point, like they're not. If Aaron gets hurt this year, I mean, I guess if he's going to miss a couple games, that's one thing. But
right.
I would think unless Will Howard has shown that he can't be the guy.
But they talked him up.
They talk everybody up. Fit off.
You don't think the Steelers really are. Like, when McCarthy said, like, we really like Will Howard. We really like Will Howard. You don't think
I'm not saying he doesn't like Will Howard.
Right.
I'm just telling you that they're always going to talk up their own guys.
Okay.
Because if they want to trade him or try to get something back for him, like, were they supposed to come out and say,
yeah,
you know, we don't like Will Howard.
Okay.
I inherited this guy. He, you know, probably not great. I mean, Drew Aller's got a lot of great skills, probably more physical talent than Will Howard. We'll see how they go perform in minicamp.
That's the thing. Like, the Ohio State tie I was talking about, like, if they only keep three, which one gets cut out of those four?
I would say Mason Rudolph.
Okay.
Because you know what he is. And I don't think that he's significantly better than the other two.
You can always go and get him back. If Rodgers suffers a significant injury, I don't think somebody's going to be clamoring to sign Mason Rudolph.
You're probably right in saying that.
And so that's where I would probably think it might be Mason Rudolph. But if they're at all concerned about a 42-year-old quarterback needing a backup that's got NFL experience, that could be bad for Will Howard. I hope it's not. But that's my only concern with this. And Rodgers retiring, do both of you right now, gun to your heads, like, would you say this is Aaron Rodgers' last year?
Yeah, I believe him.
Okay.
Yes.
He was so definitive in it.
Yeah. They asked and he answered. It wasn't this is probably it. No, this is it.
I didn't know, you know, we see it all the time.
He's never said that before. Not like that, in uncertain terms.
Yeah.
That, and he's also.
He didn't need to say that today either. He could have said, I mean, there was time. Like, that's his first real press availability.
And he also has still played okay.
Yeah.
But not like Tom Brady, where it like feels like shoot, this guy might have two more years in him. You know, I think it was fine last year. I think he'll probably have another fine year. But I also think he's clearly not what he once was.
Yeah, and that's probably frustrating. And their team is getting older. So like, that's the other part.
I don't think there's this drive for him to keep trotting out there and kind of winning 9-10 games.
Yeah.
And maybe just squeaking into the playoffs and being a decent, you know, above average quarterback at this point.
Could either of you envision a scenario? Just think about this. Is there anything that could happen this year that would bring Rodgers back next year?
I'm sure there's
anything.
Something, but he seems pretty definitive, unless they really made a run. But even at that, like, the team in Pittsburgh's getting older. Like, I don't know how much longer they're going to be able to keep all that together.
Right. And this is the fifth straight year having the highest paid defense.
Yeah.
So, and the defense.
Yeah, I mean, if they made the AFC title game or even the Super Bowl, like, I think maybe all bets are off at that point. But
if they make the AFC title game, it's a hell of a way to walk away still.
Exactly. That's the other thing. Yeah. Maybe at that point, he still says, like, you know what? I'd rather, it's kind of like, you know, be done too soon than stay too late.
Right.
And maybe at that point, he's like, you know what? I had a good year. maybe if I came back, things could work out really well. But maybe, right. come. I mean, Brady came back another year, and I think he played, what, two more years after the Super Bowl?
I believe maybe. it was two more years after the Super Bowl?
I think. And that last year, if I'm correct on this, they went 8-9 and 9-8 and got ran off the field against Dallas in the wild card round. Like, there's no guarantee that, like, just because you were close. And that was,
they weren't bad. They weren't bad.
They were just average at that point. Yes. Brady, I mean, I don't know. Brady probably could have played, honestly, another year or two. But it's not like Rodgers is even 38, though, either. I mean,
he's 42. He's my age.
Like, so he's probably just kind of at peace with it and ready to make one more run out of here.
It's I went through my, I tried to cycle through all the possibilities in my head of what could happen this year. And would Rodgers come back? And I think no matter what happens, he's done. Like, even if he had like a, you know, I remember when Barkley had his injury and wanted to come back and play a little bit, even though he was a shell of himself. Like, if Rodgers suffered an ACL tear, like in his second game, I think he's done. I don't think he was like, you know what, I got to come back and be on there one more time. Like, I don't think it's worth it for him.
He already did that with the Achilles.
Right, the Achilles thing. So I don't think that, I can't think of a possible scenario where Rodgers would come back.
Yeah, I agree. We'll stay in the AFC North here, guys. Todd Monken yesterday having some comments about what we presume to be his top two quarterbacks heading into as OTAs get underway.
Well, I shouldn't say surprised. I think more people would be surprised. Deshaun's athleticism shows up. Obviously, he's had that, but he's had his injuries that have set him back. So, but that's been, I wouldn't say a surprise, but it's exciting to see. It's a weapon for him. It's one of his superpowers is athleticism. And I think Shadur's come miles in terms of his progressions, getting the ball out, his understanding of concepts. I think he's really, really come a long way.
Some pretty high praise there for both Watson and Shadur heading into year two, Tito.
I had no idea Doc Rivers was the head coach of the Browns. It sounds like either Doc Rivers or Stan Van Gundy, one or the other. It sounds like both those guys. It's funny, you know, Bob, I take the thing about Will Howard, like, oh, yeah, they got to love him. And then they're going to say, I was like, oh, wait, that's just BS. So like, I am selectively agreeing with you.
That's my point. Coaches, they'll say different things at different times. Like, so just you listen to some of it, you understand it. But I always say, what else are they supposed to say about it?
I want to believe. I want to believe in Will
Go
Howard,
ahead.
Bob.
Believe all you like.
I want to believe that Will Howard has a chance to be a starting quarterback in the NFL with a successful
I'm not
quarterback.
Saying he doesn't. I mean, there's work for him to get done and everything. Sure. I think Will's, I think people underestimate him and his ability of what he's able to do and how he's able to play the game.
All right, next up here, one more sound bite. Going to go back to Joe Burrow on this one. He was asked yesterday, any kind of, you know, of course, we all know what Bengals and the team's aspirations are, is to get back to the Super Bowl and win it this time. But he was asked any individual accomplishments he wants to check off the list this upcoming season.
I'm pretty close to Bengals franchise touchdown record. I think I'm like 50 or something away, so that'd be nice to break this year.
You care about an MVP?
You always want to be MVP of the league, Super Bowl MVP, win a Super Bowl, you know, all those things are, I'm not necessarily sure I'd say a seasonal goal of mine would be to do that because you never know how things will play out. As far as winning the MVP, a lot of things have to go right, but I'd like to win one eventually for sure.
Bob, he needs 47 to tie Andy Dalton at 204 all time for passing touchdown leaders for the Bengals there in franchise history. And of course, that'd mean 48 to take the
be
lead.
A nice
he
year.
Had 43 2 years ago. In a strange way, though, would it not be the worst case scenario if he was in that 35-40 range? Because maybe you're running the ball, playing defense better.
No, don't run the ball. don't play any defense.
Let's just go throw 55 touchdowns.
Yeah, try to score. Try to air that thing out. I mean, I'd say for him to get that, I mean, that would probably get him the MVP unless he somehow threw like 15 or 16 picks. But if he gets close to that record, I would say that would put him in strong MVP consideration. It's interesting when he was asked about that, and he's like, well, that's part of the goal, and so is this other stuff is the goal. And, you know, you don't want to get kind of locked in because it's interesting. You say, like, if your goal is to win MVP, you begin to ask yourself, like, okay, people ask, like, was that a selfish goal versus ultimately winning it all? And that's why you could hear him. I mean, he's been around the block. Then went automatically to Super Bowl MVP, winning a Super Bowl, like more team stuff.
Do you guys want to guess how many Bengals quarterbacks are credited Because you got, you know, you get wins and losses. They do the same thing there. But quarterback records. How many Bengals quarterbacks have won more than five games as a starter?
More than five.
How many Bengals quarterbacks? Been around since 1968, I believe, their first year.
Seven.
Bodie?
Won more than five games?
Yes.
Oh, I was thinking a couple dozen, honestly. I don't know. I got one of us is way off, I guess.
The answer's eight.
Okay, I was way off.
They haven't had the guy. Here's the thing: when they've been bad, they've really sucked.
Okay.
Yes. And then like, when Jeff Blake is probably one of those guys.
Okay, he is. Klingler went 4-20, by the way. David Klingler.
I was going to say. Wow. Okay. I mean, so, they were really bad. So you
Anderson
got Esiason,
91.
Yeah.
Anderson. Dalton was 70.
Yeah.
Then you had Esiason with 62.
Yeah.
Those guys all had over 500 records. Carson Palmer went 46-51.
Yep.
Burrow is 43-33-1.
Yep.
Jeff Blake is 25-41-0. John Kitna 18-28.
Yep.
This next guy I never heard of. He went 12-10. Virgil Carter. 70-72.
I was going to say, that was back in
that
the day.
That was way back when.
Yeah.
So only eight quarterbacks in Bengals history have won more than five games. After that, it's Turk Schonert. I remember that guy. He went 5-2. What else? Klingler was 4-20.
Jeez.
Fitzpatrick 4-7. Achilles Smith 3-14. O'Donnell went 2-9.
I knew Achilles Smith didn't because he started for basically a year.
AJ McCarron 2-1. How about his girlfriend, though? How about his girlfriend?
Speaking of Brent Musburger.
Yeah, speaking of Brent Musburger, indeed. All right, folks, coming up next, top of the hour, Albert Breer will join us. Lots of questions for him. We'll do that next.
Be your go-to sports addiction.
WBNS, WBNS-FM, HD3 Columbus.
The Fan 3, Ohio sports destination. Attack and dominate. You're locked into Morning Juice.
Sponsored by Riverside Bank of Dublin.
Here's Bobby and Tito.
Morning, Juice. Get out with Breer on here shortly. Senior reporter for MMQB. Can't wait to talk to him. Lots going on. They've awarded the Super Bowl Bob to Nashville.
Nash Vegas, baby.
Was it 2030? Is that the one?
I believe there? So. 2030. There's like three more before it.
Oh, we got Atlanta coming up next year. No, Atlanta's 2028.
LA.
Atlanta.
Vegas.
And then
Nashville.
But they haven't set dates yet on those. They, like even the like the Atlanta one, they have not set a date yet for that one. The one upcoming, Bob, by the way, is a huge deal. I don't know if you know this or not. The 2027 Super Bowl. Do you know why it is so significant? The date of there's two reasons. The date of that Super Bowl.
2027.
Yep. The upcoming season here. One is fake and made up. The other one's real.
Okay.
The fake one is it's on Valentine's Day.
Valentine's? I like it.
Okay. Which, you know, Valentine's Day made up holiday. I don't celebrate it. Whatever. Anyway, the real reason, though, the next day, Bob, is President's Day.
So is that's for certain this year?
Yes.
So did they put a second by? How did they? Is it because of just how the calendar hit
the
this year?
The calendar hit this year. Yeah. The way like Labor Day and all that crap happens. Yes.
Okay.
So, the next day is a holiday, which means kids are off school, which means that you may get kids that can stay up later now to watch the entirety of the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That may have to go to bed normally.
I mean, they do a good job starting at like 6:30, so it gets done at like 10:15. It's
right.
Not crazy late. It's way different than the NCAA, like football, the basketball championship.
Yeah.
Anything that they're playing with the World Series, starting those games at 9 o'clock and wondering why kids aren't watching them anymore because they get done at 12:30
right.
On a Tuesday night.
Yeah.
So that's – and so they haven't set those other ones. You know why they haven't set the other ones?
I got to believe it's because they wanted – they're trying to get 18 games.
Yeah.
That's the reason.
That's the answer.
They're trying to get there. The NFL also came out and said now that, Bob, they have agreed to – up to 10 international games you can have every year now, starting next year. I mean, it'll go to 16 eventually.
Oh, yeah.
But the other part of that that was interesting, Bob, was that I guess, and I didn't know this, you probably did, you could protect two home games.
That you don't want moved?
That you don't move to international games.
I didn't know that. It doesn't surprise me, though.
But now those protections are gone.
Oh, it's rolling raw now.
Yes. So now you can't protect games.
So it's a contraceptive free situation.
It's exactly. It's a pull out couch thing now.
Did you see what Jerry Jones said about the international games?
What did he say?
Let me pull it up here. Sorry, I had it in quick hitters. We didn't get to it. So Dallas, in particular, he was asked about the Cowboys, but I think the general premise can, you know, work for any team. He told Jory Epstein of Yahoo Sports, the wear and tear is a lot less than it could be. Yeah. The wear and tear is a lot less than a night out on the town. Everybody ought to think about that. It's like, it isn't like they would be at home in bed resting up. Part of being a player, part of being that age of a person, part of being all of that in the shape they're in and what have you, is that they're able to have a little extracurricular in many ways. It can be a lot more damaging than just walking down the block. So there you go.
Walking around the block.
That is life advice. Life advice with Jerry Jones there.
The wear and tear is a lot less than a night out on the town.
And I would know because I've had a lot of them.
What's okay. Your point?
Fair to say, Bob, Jerry Jones, I would say, is a...
interested to see where this goes.
He is a veteran drinker. Fair?
Yeah, I think he's had a couple of pops in his day.
I think he is a very good functioning drinker.
Like, I'd say that's probably true as well.
He can pass out at 2 a.m., wake up at 6 a.m. and be just fine. And I think that he thinks everyone's like that.
Well, I mean, given his age, he shouldn't be able to do that to younger people right now, but he doesn't care.
I know, but like Jerry Jones for me, Bob. Jerry Jones for me, Bob. He has reached like Charlie Sheen status for me. As far as like, how the hell is this guy still alive?
He would, he's 82.
Absolutely. He's older than that, yeah.
83? Say 82. And Bodie, you're like, older than, Bodie says 83. Right, older than that.
I nailed it though, Bob. I thought it was closer to 85. I'll be honest when I said it that way.
84 in October.
See, there we go.
October 13th.
83 and a half, Bob.
October 13th.
There we go.
But it's a, Jerry Jones, I think, if the three of us went out with Jerry Jones for a night on the town in Dallas, then you could make it happen. So let's work on that. Night on the town in Dallas. And I got to believe he would drink all three of us under the table.
Not me.
Oh, come on, Bob.
I don't think at this age, but I don't know if ever. So we're good.
Let's set it up.
Why would I need to go out with you three? I've already been out with Jerry before.
That's another flex. But we all go out together. The three of us and Jerry Jones.
I played for the Cowboys. It's not a flex. It's just the reality. You'd see him out at different places. And that was 20 years ago when he had probably a little more of his fastball.
Yes. I get the sense he still has his fastball. I think Jerry.
I bet he can give you an inning of relief. You know?
I think he still got it.
I don't know about six or seven, but he'd probably get out there and three up, three down in the seventh.
He could be a closer. You get him. Yeah, maybe not a closer, but a setup guy.
Yeah.
Give you a
right matchup, lefty against the lefty.
Put him out there, for three batters. Yeah. Get him going. Make sure he knows the situation he's walking into. He can still get it done.
MMQB's Albert Breer joins us now. Albert, maybe you can help us out, settle this argument for us. If the three of us, let's put Albert Breer, the four of us. Albert and I with Bobby and Bodie.
See, Albert's already done this, so he doesn't need to.
I understand, but he hasn't done it recently. I don't think he's done it recently. If the four of us, Albert, went out drinking with Jerry Jones, would he drink all of us under the table?
How old am I?
I don't know. Are you right now? Right now?
Now?
Yes, right now, four of us.
Now, I would say yes.
Bobby says he could drink him under the table.
I didn't say that. I said
I don't know. I will say there was one night, and I think Bobby's probably heard the full story.
Okay.
I'm not going to give you guys the full story, but there was one night when I stayed out with him, and it was just me and him at the end at the bar, and it was at an NFL meeting, and I remember seeing him kind of struggling walking into the meeting. And that was kind of a point of pride for me that he actually like looked like he'd taken some punches, the next day. So, he is, I don't know how someone of his age like can do what he can do. It's pretty amazing. I guess they make him different in Arkansas.
Oh yeah, he's been training like that for years. Yeah. Albert, you don't just wake up like that. Speaking of guys that are getting
that's why you lift all them weights.
That's why you lift all them weights for those nights with Jerry. Is Aaron Rodgers, were you surprised to hear that him coming out, you know, preemptively before, you know, it's really his first media availability, saying that this was his final season?
I mean, I talked to somebody with the team over the weekend who said to me, like, we're pretty sure this is it for him. And I think it was like another one of those cases where, they were sort of telling me something, but they didn't want to speak for him, you know?
Yeah.
Like maybe he already told them that and it had been pretty clear for a while. And I think like him speaking with that kind of clarity, which I don't know that he has before, I think allows them to plan better too, you know, and it gives them some runway for, you know, like how they're going to handle Will Howard, how they're going to handle Drew Aller, how they're going to assess those guys. You know, it could even affect like how you approach deploying your scouts, you know, in the fall. How do you look at Brendan Sorsby now if he winds up in the supplemental draft? What games are you sending your college scouts to when you get to October, November, December? I think it kind of helps you in all of those ways. And I think it's also a sign of how good the communication between the Steelers and Rodgers has been over the course of the last 2 years as all of this has gone on, you know? And I mean, look, like I think for all of us, like we kind of get the shakes and think of like Favre when this happens, like, God, he keeps doing this. But, you know, I think like when it comes to like the interpersonal relationship between, between Rodgers and all the Steelers people, that's consistently been pretty good, you know, and I think that's a big reason why he's coming back, you know. So when I guess we can call it 14 months now that he's really kind of been either coming or going or working with them on a contract, you know, all of that, like as they've worked through all of that over the course of the last 14 months, you know, going back to when they first pursued him, they snuck him into the facility. There's been a really high level of trust. And, I think that clarity of communication, you know, is there too. And him explaining that, you know, this is going to be it for him.
Albert, I can't believe they will keep four quarterbacks on the roster in Pittsburgh, which means that either Rudolph, Aller, or Howard would likely be cut.
Yeah.
If that were to be the case, who do you think would be the one that would be on the chopping block?
Well, you could always give the rookie the old, hey, your ankle hurts.
Right.
No, it doesn't. Yeah, it does. And then
you got a concussion.
Put him on IR. Right. Or so there's some creative stuff you can do. I think like what they're going to do is they're going to give Will Howard every chance to win the backup job now, you know? And like that was part of like the way that they worked the calendar here too. Like I know like it was important for Mike McCarthy to have Aaron Rodgers here this week because this week is the start of OTAs. For people who don't know, OTAs is a fancy term for football practice. You know, it really is for all of these teams the start of actual football practice where you're doing competitive things out there on the field. It's not just three-quarter speed stuff anymore. And so you're starting to build your team at this point, you know? And so it was important to McCarthy that Rodgers was in for this part of it. And, you know, I think on the flip side, they saw some benefit to Rodgers being away up until now too, in that, you know, I think Mike really wanted to get a good long look at Will Howard. And now he's had that. You know, and now, like, he, I think, has an idea of where he's at as a quarterback because he had, you know, a few weeks of setting up, you know, the off-season program for the young quarterbacks in the building, Howard and now Aller coming in. You're right. Like, I have a hard time seeing them keeping four quarterbacks. So, like, I think, you know, your hope would be that Will Howard goes out and wins the backup job. And then that probably would make Mason Rudolph expendable. I would say Drew Aller as a third round pick is probably on the team. So like, I think if you're looking at if you want to really simplify it, This probably boils down to Will Howard versus Mason Rudolph for a roster spot.
It's wild to think, but I think that that's probably the case, and we'll see how that all plays out. They still, Albert, I heard you talking with DP, I believe, about how Atlanta's very frustrated. They don't have a date set for the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Moving forward, Nashville just got awarded theirs. Minnesota got awarded the draft. Is this 18 games? Because that's just presumably why the date hasn't been set. I mean, what are they looking at trying to get that codified? Is that something that's in the works now? Is this a big push over the beginning of the season? Like, what does the timeline for that look like?
So I asked the events guy at the league, Peter O'Reilly, this back in March. And, you know, he said what they always say, which is like, this is not unusual. Well, it's like, yeah, it is. And they're not real happy about it. You know what I mean? Like, so, like what Peter, so then I asked, like, okay, like, well, when do you have to set a date by? Because there's all sorts of things that go into planning a Super Bowl. You know, you can't set the date 5 months ahead of time and expect everything to run smoothly. So he said generally our deadline would be the beginning of the season before. So not the beginning of the season of that Super Bowl, the beginning of the season before that Super Bowl. So that would be for the, that Super Bowl is at the end of the 2027 season. We're talking now, you know, it being the deadline being the start of the 2026 season. So that gives the NFL, what would that be, less than 4 months now on that self-imposed deadline to set a date for the Atlanta Super Bowl, which means if they're going to go to an 18-game schedule in 2027, they probably got to get moving on it now. You know, so whether or not they can get that done, I don't know. I like my guess would be like that they that it might take another year or two. You know, and they still have to kind of figure out where J.C. Treader and the NFLPA are at on all of that. But I mean, there's no question that's what they're where they're headed. Now, I would say this too, like, you know, I think it's important to people understand why I said what I said about Atlanta, which is it's not just an inconvenience for them. Like, you block off a couple of weeks, hotel rooms, convention space, event space, all of that for a Super Bowl to begin with. But if you don't know when the Super Bowl is, like, you not only have to set aside the week of the Super Bowl, you have to set aside a week that, like, if an emergency happens, you have an extra week to play with as well. So then if there's two different dates where the Super Bowl could be, then you got to set aside two separate dates on top of that. You're blocking off almost an entire month. That basically chokes out a city's ability to do business, you know, in other places with those dates, you know? So you're talking for, you know, a metropolitan area, you know, probably half a month of business that is being put on pause while the NFL figures out what the date's going to be.
What do you think the give back will be on the other side with the owners to the players on this? Like, have you heard anything on negotiations on what, you know, everybody's looking for to help get this done?
So I think it's probably going to be monetary in some way. I do wonder, like, so I've always felt this way, Bobby. Like, I think one of the problems, and this is what people, I think, don't see, but one of the problems with going to 18 games is, like, how much harder it makes it for players to get to the real money. And every player wants to get to the big second contract, right? Where, you know, the true life-changing money is. And it's hard to get there. And so, like, you know, you, like, for guys who weren't drafted in the first round, it's 4 years. And 4 years is the minimum to get to unrestricted free agency. So in a 16-game format, that means you need to get through 64 regular season games plus whatever playoffs to get to unrestricted free agency. When they went to 17, that number is now 68. If they go to 18, that number will become 72. So now we're talking about having to endure a full half season or an entire half season of games on top of what people used to have to get through to get to unrestricted free agency. So when I look at that, I say, if I'm the players, what I'm doing is I'm saying, you got to make it easier on us. And whether that means 3 years to unrestricted free agency, whether that means You know, loosening the reins on franchise tags, transition tags. You got to do something to make it a little easier for us to get to the big second contract. And I don't know if the owners will do that because control over workforce is a really important thing for them. But that's what I would ask for if I were the players. I would say you got to do something to make it easier for our guys to make the really big money.
I know Highmark Stadium, Albert, for Buffalo is going to be open air, but it seems like every other stadium is either going to be a dome or retractable. Do you think in the next, you know, the next wave of stadiums, like it's going to go away from open air altogether? Is it, it'll be like retractable or just domes just because of the financial benefit of having year round use and Super Bowl potentially, right?
Yeah. I mean, this goes back to like, I mean, this was, I would say like, if you look the first decade of this century, right? Like, so the whatever you want to call them, the aughts. Like, look at the cost of stadiums at the beginning of that decade, and then look at what it became. So Energy Stadium in Houston, which is a retractable roof dome, right? Opened in 2002, was, I think, right around $350 million to build. Lucas Oil Stadium, which opened 6 years later, and is also a retractable roof stadium. I think if you've been in both places, you'd say they're comparable, was more than double that, was $800 million. Then MetLife Stadium, which opened 2 years after that, was $1.6 billion. And now, like, I mean, it's more or less a given that you're well over $1 billion to build a stadium. So what sort of effect does that have? Well, it becomes harder to justify building these places for 10 football games anymore, right? So, like, if you're building that sort of place, like, it's, okay, now we got to jam every event we possibly can. Concerts, you know, this summer, World Cup, you know, NCAA Final Fours, everything we can possibly get into that stadium, we are going to get into that stadium. Well, to do that, you need a roof. And to do that, generally, you know, if you don't want to put in a really expensive grass system like what they have in Madrid, and I'd urge anyone to go look at what they have in Madrid. It's freaking incredible, you know. Then, you know, you got to put down turf, right? And so that's what's happened. You know, that's what's happened is that the stadiums have gotten so costly that it just doesn't make sense to have a, you know, doesn't make sense to build one for just football anymore. And so, you know, they've found creative ways to put every event under the sun in them. And I think, you know, it's interesting. Jerry Jones was actually ahead on this in that he said, we're going to have boxing matches here. We're going to have swim meets there. And Bobby, you were in Dallas when they built that place. Yeah. Like they, like that was Jerry's whole thing was like, this can't be just a football stadium. And I think a lot of other people have followed suit. And again, you need a roof to do a lot of those things.
So speaking of that, we'll get you out here on this hour. You mentioned the grass over in Madrid. They have the World Cup here. And I just saw the AT&T manager talking about, you know, they brought in, you know, 50 some odd tons or whatever of all this aggregate and dirt. And they've got the fields like 24 inches above where the current turf is. And they're having a grass field and they have the lights, the hydroponic lights and everything that go up and down with it. And they, I saw a poll where they said 92% of players want to be playing on grass. Like, how much is the NFLPA going to push for that? And I know, like, it's more expensive and cost prohibitive with domes, but that's where they're going. Is that something you think that'll come into play here shortly?
Man, I hope so. I mean, Bobby, answer this for me. How often in your NFL career did you practice outside on turf?
In Dallas, hardly at all. Usually all the outdoor fields are grass.
Right.
We have one turf field, but that's
it. Let me ask you this then. Like when you were a player, when you were going to a loud stadium, coaches would pipe noise in, right? Yeah. Coaches would, if there was like the, every little detail, right, they would try to prepare you for, right?
Mm-hmm.
Every little detail. Yet you are preparing to play on a turf field and they're putting you out there on grass. Why?
Because it's better. Safer.
32 out of 32 teams practice outside on grass, regardless of what sort of surface they're playing on Sunday, right? Mm-hmm. Because the players feel better. I mean, to me, that's the smoking gun in the whole thing, right? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, we can talk about all the statistics we want. Like, look at the actions of the teams. Every single football team practices on grass. What surface does Ohio State practice on?
Grass as much as they possibly can.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. So I, like, that's the thing is, like, to me, like, that is that, like, these guys can give you every statistic they want. It's safe, right? It's just as safe. But, like, what are the trainers, the doctors, the coaches, what are they putting the players on? They're putting them on grass. You know what I mean? Like, so don't you know what on our heads and tell us it's raining. Like, we know why you're doing this. You know what I mean? Like, so, you know, I would say, you know, the really interesting part about it is, like, you think about like the soccer argument, right? And the reason the reason like all these, you know, all the NFL stadiums have to do this is because FIFA requires it. Well, why can FIFA require it? FIFA can require it because countries are competing for their events, right? Okay, so, like, then go over to England and France and Spain, and why is it that over there, like, you cannot have a turf field? You have to have natural grass in all these stadiums. It's because all of the leagues are competing for players, right? So it's not just one group of owners who can kind of get together and make the rules for themselves. No, it's a league in Germany competing against a league in England, competing against a league in France for players. And if the money's comparable, and player looks at it and says, well, that league has 15 grass fields and that league over there has 10 turf fields, like, I'm going to go to the league with the grass fields. I mean, you saw it with Messi, right? Didn't yeah. Messi, when he came over here, guys, correct me if I'm wrong, I think Messi for a while was refusing to play on turf, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
I think that's correct.
So, right. Like, so, I mean, it is just a mountain. I mean, if you want to look at all the anecdotal evidence, there's a mountain of evidence. And, like, so, like, that the soccer's got these inherent advantages in that there are, you know, FIFA's got leagues compete or countries competing for their events. And players don't just have teams competing for their services. They have leagues competing for their services, you know? And so that allows them to ask for whatever, like, okay, like, I need the best working conditions now. And over here, because, you know, the NFL, like, call it what it is, it's an operating monopoly, can kind of make their own rules on that stuff. You know, I always think of this. I always think of Green Bay and that field there. If you go there on a Wednesday, you can walk right out of the tunnel onto the field, and they have a little rope that runs around the field at Green Bay. And says, it's like, please don't walk on the field. We're trying to keep this special place in the best condition, whatever the sign says there. And it's like, it's such a symbol of the priority that they've made mm-hmm. that field there, right? Well, why are the Packers pouring all this money into that field that they have? That surface is a hybrid surface. It is the same surface. It's expensive, hard to maintain. It's the same surface that they use for the British soccer teams, right? Like, all the Premier League teams use this Grassmaster surface, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, why is it that the Packers can do that, but other teams aren't doing it? Now the Bills are going to do it too. The Packers don't have an owner pocketing the difference, right? Yeah. So the Packers are just pouring all that money's coming in. The Packers are just pouring that money back into the football team, right? There's nobody profiting on the margin there, you know? So I think it's pretty simple if you break it down. And the reality is, like, for the NFLPA, they're going to have to give something to get something here. But it's the structure of the sport and the reality of the stadiums that got them here.
They've done the same thing here with the ping pong table. Got a yellow rope around it. It talks about not damaging anything on that. And then also, I believe Tug McGraw always practiced on grass, even no matter what the surface was they were playing on. But, Al, we appreciate the time. Thank you so much, and we will talk again next week.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
How's Albert Breer? Bob, did you get the Tug McGraw reference? You probably didn't, did you?
Well, it's Tim's dad. He played Major League Baseball.
He did. He was he took part in substances, mainly.
Smoke in the grass.
Yes, that's where I see it. Always Spackler? On grass. Yes, always on grass. You always practice on grass, even if the game was on turf.
There you go.
Nobody else will get that but me and Shark. Coming up next, Lincoln Riley is channeling Herb Brooks. We'll do that next morning.
Attack and dominate. You're locked into Morning Juice.
Sponsored by Riverside Bank of Dublin.
Here's Bobby and Tito.
All right. Bobby Tito Bodie, Thank you, Dowell Beer, for joining us. Always love having him on. I love the fact, Bob, he had those stadium figures off the top of his head.
Albert is the most knowledgeable guy you're going to find on the NFL. Nobody reports it better, probably since Lincoln.
Fair. I would say since Peter King, but maybe since Lincoln.
No, he's better than Peter King. Peter King got curmudgeon-y at the end.
Mm. No, he didn't.
Oh, yes, he did.
You think he did?
Yes.
Did you ever get interviewed by Peter King?
I talked to him when I was out in Dallas. Yeah. He came out to training camp like Albert does.
He came across as a fairly nice gentleman to me.
Yeah. I'm not saying he was mean. I'm just saying.
Well, curmudgeon-y kind of means mean, doesn't it?
You become entrenched in your beliefs of what you think should happen and just kind of a get off my lawn mentality a little bit.
Lincoln Riley. We talked earlier about Joe Burrow. I said that the fact he said this is the most talented roster he's been on with Cincinnati, a team he took to the Super Bowl 1 year. Puts a little bit of a bullseye on the team for this year. Lincoln Riley's doing the same thing with USC. Mm. Lincoln Riley said, "We have absolutely taken steps now." This is on an interview with ESPN and CBS, the Big Ten Spring.
Yeah. Game.
"Honestly, now it's just time to go do it. It's time. Their time is over." He didn't say that part. "The program's ready for it. I caught some flack for saying that, when he said that earlier in the offseason that USC championship window was opening, he said, I caught some flack for saying that I thought we had opened a window, but it's just true. It's how I feel. And I feel like I've got a little bit of credibility in terms of having been in part of some places that did that at a pretty high level. So I have at least a little bit of an idea of what I'm talking about. I've told people there's almost like a feeling when you first got here. You're standing in front of a dam, D-A-M, and there's just leaks. And you plug one leak and another one pops. It's not perfect, but there's not many leaks anymore. What is the ceiling for USC, Bob?
The ceiling, to quote Michael Jordan, should be the roof. The ceiling for them should be a national championship every year.
Yeah.
The reality is that they have woefully underachieved. This is USC we're talking about here. They have all of the innate advantages that you're going to find from every school. Like, they're in a talent-rich environment, huge populous state. Now, the one thing that they don't have is fan interest, so that is tough. Nobody really gives a damn. But they are a national brand. But I joke with every recruit that we have that comes in from California, like, where else? You know, you're looking at USC, looking here, there. You go, oh, you want to play in front of, like, 40,000 people? That's awesome. Have fun with that. And then I kind of laugh, and I'm like, you've been to the game? I've been, it's... You see that thing over there? That bad boy's full when they're playing Kent State at noon or even at night.
In 2011, this is after Pete Carroll. Now, Pete Carroll left in 2009, after the 2009 season.
They were good in 2011.
2011, they went 10-2.
Yeah.
How'd they do in the bowl game? Well, we won't know because they were ineligible.
Yeah, yes. But they were good.
They were good that year.
That was Clay Helton.
No, that was Lane Kiffin.
Lane train.
Lane had 10-2. He went 8-5 his first year, then 10-2, 7-6, 10-4. And then Sarkisian goes 9-4.
Why did Lane leave USC?
Why did he leave? I don't think it was a choice. He got fired.
At 10-4, he got fired?
He got fired on the tarmac.
On the tarmac, yeah.
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
I don't think he was fired. I don't think he went 10-4. I think USC finished 10-4.
He got fired before that?
I think so, yeah.
Who was the interim then? I don't know.
I think that's when.
Is that Big Ed?
Ed O, yeah.
Big Ed, that's right. Who, by the way, guess who's back?
You're right, he's back.
Back again. You know what? You get fired as the head coach, just hang out for a while, collect that severance cash. Now you're back at LSU with the Lane train.
Yeah. So Sarkisian then goes 9-4, 8-6. We know why he was no longer the coach.
Why is that?
I believe he was hanging out with Jerry Jones and Mark Sanchez, your amigo. After that, then you had Clay Helton, 10-3, 11-3 the first two seasons.
I say he had very successful runs to start. Yeah.
Then 5-7, 8-5, the COVID year 5-1, and then 4-8. Then he was gone. Ooh, then Lincoln comes in.
4-8. God, I didn't remember that.
That's gross. 4-8, 3-6 in the Pac-12.
Oh my gosh, 4-8.
So since 2017, USC has had one double-digit win season.
That is ridiculous.
The Lincoln Riley 11-3 season back in 2022, back in the weak ass Pac-12.
It's been 15 years since
that's not, I know, true.
It doesn't, it's
to
fine.
Be fair, the
it's
Pac-12
fine.
Was good.
It's fine.
That was the worst part about the Pac-12 dying, was it got really good again.
Yeah, they were good the last year. Their quarterbacks, like, you go look at all the guys. Was there.
That's fair.
The guys? There was like five guys.
I mean, Washington
guys
played in the national championship game in their last year in the Pac-12. We know Utah's been pretty steady.
Yes.
Noah Fifita at Arizona was pretty good. Oregon's been good.
So what, okay, we know how stacked the Big Ten is this year.
Yeah.
Ohio State, Oregon,
I don't know.
Indiana.
Lane said there's three or four games a year you can just coast and play your backups. That's why guys want to stay in the Big Ten.
I've just
told
you.
Margin of victory is bigger. Look at it.
The three best teams in the Big Ten, I've given them to you. Ohio State, Oregon, Indiana, I think in that order. Go to hell, Cignetti. You got to show me you can really do it 3 years in a row. Do you
sound like Tyvus now? He's down on Indiana. Said all his boys are gone.
You got to fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, strike three. Bob.
We don't get fooled again.
That too. Thank you. The Who reference. I like that.
Well, that's a Who via. What's interesting is Rothman was breaking this down. Rothman had never heard that. The George Bush cut. Fool me. We got a saying in Texas. I'm sure you have it here in Tennessee where fool me once. Shame on you. Fool me. We ain't get fooled again. And then Rothman was like, oh my gosh, that's the Who. And Cole was like, yeah, this guy played it. I've never realized that was a song too. And Rothman goes, it's amazing. He couldn't remember it and just offboarded straight to the Who, which was pretty good.
We have got to end the war on terrorism. Now watch this drive.
Watch this drive.
Oh, please go.
That's off Fahrenheit 9/11. It's pretty good. But that's, I don't even know where, I don't even know where we're going with that.
Can USC realistically, in your mind, get above those top three?
We're talking about Indiana. That's why. Yeah, Indiana's going to be good. Above all of them,
can they get into the top? Do you think that USC
could they penetrate the top three?
Bob.
I mean, that's what you're trying to do is break on in. How about could they Jim Morris
top four? I would say
break on through to the
could
other
they
side.
Jim Morris in that
yeah
thing?
Break on through to the other side.
My dad always asked, "What was on the other side?"
That's a great point.
What was he trying to get to?
Westeros.
Was exactly maybe.
Okay. Well, USC. Do you believe USC could be a top three team in the Big Ten this year?
Ooh, maybe top five.
How about this?
They lost Illinois last year.
How about
Illinois should have beat them by more. They fumbled the ball going in the end zone twice.
They lost Notre Dame too, Bob.
That's why they're not playing them.
I believe you said 224 days left in the calendar year. I believe that's how many rushing yards Jay Love had in that game last year.
So far,
he's still running.
Yeah.
The only thing that stopped him, where was that? Was that at USC?
No, it was in South Bend.
Okay, I was going to say the only thing that stopped him was the Pacific. But
maybe.
Was there a lake? Where are we at up there?
Yeah, there's a lake.
Lake Michigan?
I can't remember off the top of my head.
Big fan.
I don't think so, but
you don't know the lakes
there's a smaller
there?
Lake on campus. But
big fan.
Anyway, how about this? Next, whatever, 3, 4, 5 years, whatever you want to say. Matt Campbell at Penn State, Kyle Whittingham at Michigan, or Lincoln Riley at Southern Cal.
Who am I taking?
Just best
Which
record.
One would be the best record, those three?
I think most people right now would say Ryan Day at Ohio State, Dan Lanning at Oregon, and then Kurt Cignetti at Indiana. Yeah.
Right, so then who's next?
For the next 3 to 5 years.
I'm going to give it to...
I mean, I don't think I'm picking USC.
I don't think so.
Those other two
coaches have proven to me that they've won at other places. Like, they have an identity.
Yeah.
They know what they're about, and they can grind out wins. Like, they're winners. They may not have as much talent, and they may not necessarily be as smart football-wise, flashy with plays, and the offensive guru, but they've won more.
Hard not to see Whittingham getting at least a 9-10 wins at Michigan on a consistent basis.
Yes.
Like, if he can do that at Utah, and then Matt Campbell, I mean, I don't know a lot about Ames, but anything I've ever heard about it's that guy winning there, what he did was a miracle.
Yeah, they've
and
always
now he's
been
gonna
bad.
Be at Penn State,
like,
and they can't get to 8-10 wins, and that there's better than Lincoln Riley in the Big Ten.
If it's not Lincoln Riley, I don't think Lincoln Riley's there in 5 years. Yeah, I mean, like, I think Lincoln Riley...
I mean, his contract would probably be up by then.
Even so, like, and I don't know if he's going to... I would think he'd be gone somewhere else. It feels like the answer's probably Matt Campbell. And part of that is because when you look at the Michigan thing, and I'm not even sure if all the Michigan stuff is done as far as the, I'm not saying sanctions, just the black eyes that Michigan's going to take. I'm not sure if all of it's done yet. These eyes are crying. These eyes have seen a lot of things, but they're never going to see another one like they had in you. Ooh, ooh, ooh. There you go, Bob. There's your singing.
Who was that? Were they singing that to, you think, Sharon or to Jim?
I think that Sharon was singing that to the woman's house, apartment he invaded. If I'm not mistaken, when he had the butter knife to his throat. Anyway,
on a lighter note,
right? Seriously though, I think Matt Campbell though is probably the one.
I'd take Winningham.
I would take Winningham.
You would? Yeah, I think not that Penn State isn't trying to win, but I think Michigan has showed in this NIL era, they have money. They're going to spend. Yeah,
they'll spend, and he'll have an identity that is.
Sets a floor.
Yeah, I think it sets a floor at probably 8 wins.
Yeah.
You know, where they're not going to be bad. They'll run the ball. They'll play defense. And if they embody what he had at Utah, I mean, they're probably 8 to 10 wins, I would say, pretty certainly.
Yeah.
Coming up next, a Pulitzer Prize winner exposes magic. We'll do that next.
Give me a mountain with lots to do. Give me the sunshine. Give me a dew. Something simple and true. All I need is sunshine and a cool, refreshing mountain dew. So give me my good friends, give me a dew.
Grab some friends and an ice cold Mountain Dew today.
Mountain Dew.
For the Dallas Cowboys, Tito wears assless chaps.
I'm dead sexy.
You're locked into Morning Juice.
Morning Juice birthday boy is not joining us today. Your Highness, who knows where he's at? New Orleans? Nollins?
Face down in the ninth ward.
Could be, Bob. Pablo Torre recently was awarded the Pulitzer.
Maybe the High Sparrow threw him in a cage, Bob.
Oh, yeah.
Is that Game of Thrones talk?
All he has to do is atone.
Anyway.
The thing was, though, if you told Your Highness, hey, you got to do a walk of atonement right down, Bourbon Street?
Yeah.
Right? He'd be like, all right.
He'd be in there.
Cool.
Pablo Torre recently won a Pulitzer for his work on the Kawhi Leonard saga in L.A. with the company where he's getting paid money to not do anything. Acrisure, thank you very much. And Torre, now his latest one, has exposed O's. Mm. You might call him Oz. I'm telling you it's O's. O's Perlman, the mentalist. Have you ever met O's, Bob?
I have not. He wasn't coming around when I was in school.
Famously goes in and supposedly he's the mentalist that reads your mind, and he will do things you can see it, bizarre kind of little parlor tricks he pulls off. And I guess Pablo Torre talked to other magicians and things, and they were very upset with it, like the fact that how he does it. They usually magicians don't expose the ways they do it.
The whimsical magic.
It's like the first rule of Fight Club.
Right.
You don't talk about Fight Club.
So anyway.
He's like Burt Wonderstone out there. It's amazing.
It started to change a little bit because O's then writes books about how to read people and things like this. And does a TED talk about, how you can do that. And what Torre comes out and finds out from talking to other people is that it's all just a big scam. Shouldn't be shocking that it's not, that he can't really read your mind, Bob. That should not be shocking to anybody.
Oh, of course. Everyone, the thought is, how does he do it? Not, wow, this is amazing.
Yeah. Right. There was something where it came up, and this was when...
there was a Breece Hall, Bryce Hall situation.
Right, Will Compton, NFL player. There was NFL, wait a minute, he asked... there was a thing where he had to come up with the NFL player, random one, and there was... I think that O's had somebody type in some stats of the guy.
It mirrored the iPhone, wasn't
it? Right. It got to O's, and the person who was doing it accidentally misspelled Breece Hall's name and typed in Bryce Hall.
Yeah.
And that's why at first O's said Bryce Hall. And then he corrected it to Breece Hall, but that's kind of one of the first signs there was something nefarious.
When was he doing this stuff? The Breece Hall, Bryce Hall, was that when he was at one of the NFL?
Had to be, yeah. I think it was, yes. But also another thing too, when he was on the NCAA basketball tournament coverage, and he was guessing a college player from Charles Barkley's mind, and In the clip of the segment, Barkley says, "You gave me two," suggesting they had discussed the trick pre-show. Like, Barkley was kind of in on it.
Yeah.
It'd be one of these two guys or whatever.
I think the thing is like, if somebody comes up to me, says, "Hey, not the Joker, you want to see a magic trick?" And
right.
"We're going to watch make this pencil disappear."
Right.
But comes up to me, deck of cards, like, "Hey, pick a card, any card." I grab one. He does, you know, flips them around or whatever. Mm-hmm. A couple seconds later, pulls out my card. I realize it's not actually magic.
Right.
But I'm still impressed that his sleight of hand can pull that off. If he came up to me 15 minutes ahead of time, says, "Hey, I'm going to come to you, grab a card."
Right.
"Make sure it's diamonds. Let's maybe go king, queen, or jack." And then he came up to me 15 minutes later, did the whole trick, and I pulled out a card and it wasn't one king of diamonds or whatever. He's like, "Yeah, put that one back. Try to grab another one." Then it's like, well, it's like you said, it's just a scam at that point. And that's, I realize it's not, magic isn't real.
Right.
As far as we know, maybe Doctor Strange is running around somewhere out there. But when you're trying to like play it up to that extent, and I mean, I don't know how much money he's made off of it, but
they
probably
said
a lot. Like,
Rosman said they called in, Cole called in to book him.
Nice.
They said it's $150,000.
Oh my goodness.
That's magic.
And that's the thing. It's
there
like,
might meet us some negotiating room there, but
still, that's even if you want to talk him down to six figures even. And to me, that's where it's kind of like, all right, dude, so you really, like I said, I know it's not like actually real and you can play it up. That's fine. But I'd say when you go to the extent he has.
Right.
And he kind of makes it.
He's a great entertainer, man.
He is, yeah.
It's a ruse. He walks and works the room.
Yeah.
I mean, it's. I don't know.
Here's what Pablo Torre said. "The difference between magic and mentalism is that mentalism is seemingly a skill you can learn if you watch O's and listen to him closely enough. And of course, what he's actually doing, spoiler alert, is a lot of stuff he does not disclose, which has infuriated all his competitors." You know what that sounds like to me?
Jealousy.
He's Barry Bonds.
Jim.
The other magicians. He's cheating.
How?
If people know how the trick is done, then he can't do the trick anymore. He does these tricks more often and more visibly than anyone else in the business. Torrey also said this. And so I think there's concern of, I've got to figure out something else, and that would be frustrating, I would imagine, if enough people pay attention. So, has O's been exposed? Maybe.
Sort of.
Kind of.
I do like how Pablo Torre is going after these stories that I'm not sure anybody cares about a ton, but when they pop out, it's like, he was in on the Belichick, Jordan Hudson stuff, wasn't he? Like you said, the Kawhi Leonard stuff. Now this, like, okay. I can't tell you I really cared that much about O's and whether or not it was real or not, but then I see the story come out, I'm like, oh, I found another one.
I'll take a glance at it.
Yeah.
He's a great journalist. Like, he's a true reporter.
Yeah,
he is. There's not many like him.
That's
left.
What he should have always been doing, as opposed to being any type of providing commentary on sports and being on talk shows. Like, he's a good interviewer, and he's good at discovery and digging in with the big J journalism.
Yeah.
And this is what he should have. Well, I mean, that's what
I know.
As opposed to talking, because it's like he started getting into some other stuff, and it's like people don't care about that. Now, I didn't think I cared about this, but I'm like, all right, it's an interesting story. I'll check it out.
But I'm fascinated by magic and magicians. Like, the stuff they do, I am truly fascinated. I'm like,
there's a great South Park episode about that, Tito. I'll send it over to
please
you.
Please do. I've never seen a single episode of South Park.
What?
Yeah, I've never seen a single episode of South Park.
What? Don't watch it with the kids, but.
I've never seen that or The Simpsons. all right, let's tell we was guest used.
What's got you juiced?
Sponsored by Newman Roofing. For all your roofing, gutter, or siding needs, call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
What we got? It's Thursday. Let's hear some slags.
That's what you love about iron. I told you guys this many times. There's two things that don't lie to you, Jesus and iron. It's a fact. 500 pounds, or if you're Ronnie Coleman, 800 pounds is 800 heavy pounds. Like, that's what it is.
No doubt about that. I saw some dude online, though, a couple weeks ago. That I think his name was Ashton Hall, the dude who was using Saratoga water and washing his face off. He takes a scale to the gyms, I guess, and weighs his weight, which, I don't know, seems a little over the top, I guess. If it's 45 versus 46, not sure really what the difference is there. But nevertheless, all right, Robert.
Finally, a girl is no one.
A girl is Arya Stark of Winterfell. And I'm going home.
When she slashed that candle to fight Fight
the waif?
Yes, that's...
Fight in the dark
I
now.
I knew she was going to be in trouble because she's like, well, I was blind for a few weeks, and so I can definitely fight you in the dark. So
after that getting great. Smoked by that broomstick over and over again.
You're going to learn. And eventually, she did learn. So that was fantastic last night. Only got one episode in, but next up is episode 9, I believe. And
you're going to want... Just watch 9 and 10 back to back.
Okay.
I can't wait. I was talking to Maddie about this yesterday when I was on with them. I was so pumped for you to see 9 and then 10. Arya, it's the revenge tour.
Okay.
She's got her list.
I like that.
She's like Santa Claus.
The hound.
But you don't want her coming to you.
I also did enjoy the scene. Tell your man to step aside or there will be violence. I choose violence. I just ripped this guy's head off of his shoulders.
So that was yesterday. I knew it was coming up.
It was coming. He didn't decide to smash the head in. He decided, let me just rip this sucker right off your torso. So
I forgot. That was so amazing.
You know what? In hindsight, Prince Oberyn, I mean, he did eventually lose, I guess, but I would say that elevates his stock, the fact that he could defeat him.
Oh, yeah.
He had him defeated.
Just celebrate, too.
Yeah, he can't get Deshaun Jackson thing.
Paying the ball to the official, coach.
Yeah. So that all has me juiced on this Thursday here, sir. What has you juiced?
Gosh, I don't even remember what else had me juiced.
Lacrosse,
yeah.
Well, I mean, I was going to talk.
Just domination.
I think there was some magic or something I was going to get into.
Okay.
Magic guy, the magic hour. Magic Johnson, who
great
knows?
Great name, What's by the way. Done?
Yeah, last night, nice win for Upper Arlington. I don't know who they have next. They play Tuesday. If they win, they'll play Thursday for the semis and regional finals. Those hopefully will both be at home. A little bit of a weathery drag yesterday, but it wasn't awful. It wasn't really raining. A little drizzle during the game, but it was held off pretty much them the whole time. A little windy, a little cold, but you know, not too bad. Had a good time with that. Just pumped for you, Bodie, to be on this Game of Thrones tour, and I was juiced to talk to Maddie and AR yesterday about it because Maddie gets so excited to kind of see where you're at. And I was showing him where you were and then what happens in the final two episodes of this season. I'm pumped and finished up season 2 of The Boys. That was fun yesterday, or not yesterday, I did that on Monday. So I got a couple more seasons of that to get done. They're wrapping up the whole show here soon. And then yesterday was my man Cullen's birthday. That went pretty well. He enjoyed it. You know, we gave him a present and we gave him some cash and a gift card. And my youngest son wanted to, I guess he got it. And we had this little thing you can buy on Amazon, this box. And so you can put these, they're like box you lay flat and they're like spring loaded. Okay. And so when he opened, he unwrapped his package, he pulled it out and there was money in there. It just sprayed up in the air.
Made it rain.
He was making it rain. And if she makes it rain, you'll be under the weather fit off. So made it rain all over it. It was funny. Took a lot of time. I was like, to build these little boxes, stack them in there. And so it was fun to see that in my parents and in-laws yesterday. Great day. Fun day talking to Breer as well. What's got you juiced that off?
Very quickly on this one, Bodie, I just want you to know this. I've seen Bobby at sporting events for his kids. And he's kind of subdued. You know, he's not like fist in the air, jumping up and down, stuff, whatever. Mm-hmm. He's subdued in those moments. But I've never seen Bobby more proud of anybody than he is talking to you about Game of Thrones. It is like the look, the glow he has. He is so excited to be kind of your mentor when it comes to Game of Thrones. When he hears you've seen episodes, that dude lights the hell up.
Because I enjoy talking about him. I get to relive them through him, vicariously.
I someday hope Bobby looks at me the way he looks at you.
Start watching.
We're back tomorrow, folks.